Good evening. Can you hear me? Lovely to be with you. Can we just pray before I start? Father, thank you that we have come together tonight. I just praise you that you are here and that we've been able to sing and praise your name and look into Jesus' eyes. And Lord, I just pray as we consider some aspects of your word that we will just learn more of you, that we will feel you are talking to us, and that even though we may have a bit of fun, that we will know you speaking to us in some way that will help us to go out in our lives as we seek to live for you. So Jesus, just speak through me. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, lovely to be with everybody. I was so excited this morning when Matt said he was looking forward to me speaking, and that last time I'd spoken about golf. And so a few weeks ago when I started, I'd prepared my subject on Golf and God Part 2. And then Matt said, I don't like golf. It was quite like that, wasn't it? Yeah, so I'll just show the intro, the opening page for my talk that it was going to be. But there you are. So it was all going to be about Christians and golf. It was going to be stimulating. But no, it's gone. It's gone. So sorry, we did all that. Next time, maybe. They're nice, aren't they? Nice, aren't they? That was Payne Stewart. He's a fantastic Christian. Anyway, so we blew that. And I've got a horrible feeling that after this, Matt's going to come to me and said, I don't like that subject that I'm going to talk about. But anyway, let's go for it. Christmas has come. Anybody put their decorations up, by the way? Come on, you own up. No, our neighbours did, and they were texting Karen last night with photos of them all, which is a little bit sad, but anyway, they did that. Anyway, but apart from Christmas, does anybody, I'm not going to ask you, Matt, does anybody like Christmas adverts? Yeah. Oh, I got the hand up, yeah? Okay. Some. Okay, what are your favourite adverts? You can participate now. John Lewis? Sainsbury's, I haven't seen that one. Yeah, that's a good one. Sainsbury's, I'll have to go back and have a look at Apple's earphones. All right. Okay. Oh, very techie. All right, okay. Any others? Famous Grouse. Okay, I'll go home and watch that one as well. Any others? So we like them. So would you like to look at some? For those who haven't seen them, we'd like to look at some. Yeah. And I'm so grateful to Martin. I had this idea and he rang me at about 9 o'clock Wednesday night. He was on a train to Lincoln, I think, and he got this prepared. So thank you. So let's have a look at four of the adverts. Don't you just love older brothers, eh? Okay, what do you think of that? Is it good? I heard some people say, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's good. What do you think they're trying to do, these adverts? Get to spend money. Yeah. What's your favourite? I heard someone was saying that last one. Yeah? Paddington's pretty good. Yeah, so some good ones there. I have to say, I didn't like the John Lewis one. Didn't like the Debenhams one. Okay, we'll have different views. And it's an awful lot of money. I think it's millions and millions of money of pounds are spent on an advert to try and articulate and to get people to buy into a brand. And actually, if you notice, three of those adverts, I think you actually didn't see anything until the end. So that's really, really strange. And the other fact was, doing some research for this, last year, 1% of people thought that Christmas adverts had a big impact on what they were going to do and spend. 1%. 2% said it had an impact. 6% liked the advert but couldn't remember what it was advertising. And 9% were so turned off by the advert they deliberately avoided the store who was advertising. So that's interesting, isn't it? So, why have I shared these videos with you, nice as it is? Well, just when I was looking at these and thinking about it, the whole subject of Christmas adverts got me thinking about what if we made an advert for the church? And dare I say, what if we made an advert for Welton? What aspect of the church life would that show? Well, how would that come across? And I just wanted to think about some things on that. What would the advert include? Firstly, if we said to someone, a big advertising agency outside, is Claire here? She's outside. If we got a budget of, say, 50,000, and we got a big advertising agent in, what would they show the church? You know, can you show the church in a good light where people want more of it? What would they show? Well, they might show some fantastic, great big cathedral. Well, that's not quite Welton. We've got a lovely building here, but that wouldn't be quite us. Would it show a group of people singing ancient hymns or songs that were totally out of date? Or if we're really, you know, pushing the boat out, would it show a wonderful picture of the manger with Mary, Joseph and Mary and Jesus or the angels, the shepherds, and, of course, the animals all around? It would be lovely and clean and sweet-smelling. Would it show that? But actually, would that sort of advert have no relevance and perhaps just be representing a story that may have happened a long time ago but doesn't have any effect now? Or more worryingly, might it show a group of people who go to church out of tradition, who just mumble a few prayers and then get on with their normal lives once Sunday's over? This would be an inward-looking group who are accepted by the outside, considered a little strange, have old-fashioned views, which a lot of those views were negative, and designed to make life a bit miserable, and have very strict rules. I hope if we commissioned an advert, it wouldn't do that. But sometimes I worry. To outside people, church, dare I suggest, is seen as a group of actually quite nice people who get together on a Sunday, hold some nice events, which we know we invite people along to, make an effort to be nice to others, and certainly don't swear or drink. So no famous grouse, Dave. All right?
I like the grouse.
Okay. But if we were serious and looking at ourselves making an advert, what would that show? What aspect of our life would show? And I'd just like to look, if we may, at a passage which may not immediately come to mind in James, looking at verses... James chapter 5, verses 7 through to 11, for those of you who are looking at your Bibles. Let's just look at that and some things that we can bring out for the sort of church that we may see or may want to show. So James 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So as we look at that passage, I hope that if we did an advert for the church, it would be that which shows that an organization or body that is relevant, that is very much alive, that's there for those who are involved in the church, but is also reaching out with welcoming arms. And if nothing else, above all, an organization that has Christ at the very center of it and not people. An organization who wants to be very relevant, just as 2,000 years ago when Jesus came, have a message. It's not about the people or organization or even the events, but about presenting Christ. So looking at this passage, what can we see? I could have picked a passage that showed, you know, church bouncing along, lots of activities, happy, smiling people. But this one is actually a church when it was going through quite tough times and had been suffering. Earlier in this particular chapter, James had proclaimed the worthlessness of riches, and that by us accumulating treasures of money, that will give us no value in God's eternal kingdom. And at this point, where the church was under pressure and suffering, he encourages the followers of Christ to be patient in their daily walk with Christ. The clear picture that we see here is of people who've been exploited by powerful men just being told to be patient. As a church, are we prepared to do that? If you just in that short passage, the word patient is used four times, and it's really reinforcing that as a church, people need to persevere in what they do. The picture there is of a farmer. It's an amazing picture. The farmer who waits for a harvest. Sometimes when you read that, you picture someone who just sits around, and John's here, and I'm sure you don't sit around as a farmer waiting for things to happen. But that sometimes you wait for the harvest. But no, there's lots of work to be done. With any good farmer, there's lots to be done to ensure a good harvest. So whilst we, as a church, await God's return, there is a lot that we can do in the meantime to advance his kingdom here today. And this is very much a 24/7 thing, not just something that we do on a Sunday or even a midweek Bible study. In this passage, we're reminded by James to be patient and to daily live by God's teaching and to share Christ's gospel with everyone around us. The church absolutely mustn't be seen as an inclusive group, which is just a social group, but one that reaches out with Christ's message of hope and eternal life. So why should we be patient in this situation? Because actually by being patient, it's not us. We're waiting on God. We're being reliant on God and not our own efforts. As with the farmer, where the ground is planted and then seed is sown, the farmer waits for the rain and then the sun to grow the crops. There are two grounds for patient hope. The first being the covenant promise of God that springtime and harvest will not cease, and the experience over many years of the truth of his word year after year. So the work that is done is not irrational. It's for a purpose. We see an experience of God fulfilling his promises. God, and not us, has set a timetable for the harvest. The farmer has his role, as we have our role in the church, but is asked and told to be patient. Throughout the Bible and throughout history, we see many examples of God's people being impatient, you know, wanting to do things, wanting to further God's kingdom, rushing along headlong into things without actually saying, God, is this what you want us to do? Without waiting and seeing for God to lead. And that can lead to all sorts of problems. We need to wait, to listen, to walk with God, and to do his will as a church. These words in James are set against the background of a church that was being abused by wealthy men. And yet they were being told to be patient. How contradictory now is that to modern society that says, get as much as you can and as quickly as possible. And often that is the detriment of other people. I hesitate to say that, but even within the church, we often want to be important and have our rightful position. Just look at the words in Philippians 2, which say, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, in any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's very much against the way in which the world sometimes goes. So what sort of picture, if we were doing an advert, would there be of the church? Would it be of a revolutionary church standing up for their rights? I hope not. Should it be one which is growing in status that has hundreds of people coming into it? Hopefully yes, but not because of the numbers. It's not about a numbers game. It's about people coming to know God. So just as well as being patient in this passage, James exhorts the followers to... Sorry, I lost myself. Be steadfast and not follow the words way of the world. Again, there are many examples where things that we do as Christians don't seem the right thing or sensible. There were loads of prophets who just said things or went and did things, and the world around was saying, well, this is nonsense, and yet they were proved right. And actually, if you look at Noah, you know, for someone who kind of went away, went against the whole leading of society and said, I've been asked by God to make this ark, and was scorned and was ridiculed and just was, but yet was faithful and then was proved to be right. And then there's a passage in Job about perseverance, where Job, who was being tested and was under trial, and just said, his words were, when he was at his lowest, he says, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? So what does he mean there? I think what we need to see there is that as a church, we need to be going about God's business and understanding that we need to be patient and persevere, and there will be good times and there will be some times which aren't as good. And we just need to persevere through theirs. So what will happen if we live like that? Certainly we need to learn to not judge other people. And Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be completely humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And that's the picture, I think, that we need to see of a church that I believe would appeal to those outside. It would show a picture of a group of people going about, and I say it again, their daily lives, not just their Sunday lives, with both a purpose and an aim. The aim and purpose being to do what God wants in their lives. A church that is trusting him each day, even sometimes when it may be strange, and pointing to a God who is both relevant today and wants to do amazing things, and a God who is full of compassion and mercy for his people. We're heading now to a very busy period of leading up to Christmas. I think it's 4 weeks. From now it'll be Christmas Eve, and there'll be so many events on. I think you look at the calendar, there are so many events. And I think just as to draw together, my prayer as I've looked at what sort of advert, which is a wish that we would do of Welton, is that it will portray a people that are at peace with each other, that love each other, but are reaching out to other people. A church that's got a purpose, but above all, that is pointing people to Christ. To Christ, whose story didn't end 2,000 years ago, but is relevant, as relevant today as it was at that time. We have this most amazing God who gave the most amazing and the greatest sacrifice by sending Jesus, who taught us and lived and then died for us. And as we come to Christmas, I know I'll get caught up in it, and it is a funny time, but I just pray that we may not get caught up in the events, not get caught up in just thinking we've got to be rushing around being busy, but sometimes just be patient, to spend that time to draw aside and say, God, where do you want me to be involved? What do you want me to do? Sometimes, do you want me to just take time out and pray for others? And that we will be seen as a church that is reaching out into our community. There are some amazing things, but above all, has that message that Christ is alive today and wants to connect with everybody around. And if we can do that, that will be, I think, an advert that will look good. So just, you know, I've talked a lot about Christ, and I think that is where we, you know, start and end. And appropriately, I saw we had communion. I thought it would be good, rather than in the middle of service, just to finish by having communion. So, Karen, if you could come forward, we would just spend a little time taking bread and the wine and remembering Christ and all he has done for us.